Okay. In this week's parsha, in parsha Vayetze, everyone knows Vayetze Yaakov. Last week's parsha finishes off that Rivka told Yaakov to go to Beis Lavan, to go and just get away. Instead of killing him, so he went to Beis Lavan to get married to find a wife. That is Vayetze Yaakov in Beis Lavan. And the whole story, and Rashi over here explains that it was 14 years between the two times. And Rashi says that Yaakov went to learn in the yeshiva for 14 years, which is a very nice thing. Learning in yeshiva is a very nice thing. But that's not what Rivka said he should do. Question number one. Rivka said, go to Lavan's house and find a wife. So all of a sudden now, you sit and learn in yeshiva for 14 years. And number two, he went to the yeshiva Shel Shem. What was in the yeshiva Shel Shem? Till now, Yaakov was in the yeshiva of Yitzchak. So what's in the yeshiva Shel Shem more than there was in the yeshiva Shel Yitzchak? And yeshiva Shel Shem, he learned, he didn't sleep for 14 years. He learned about Smarta Gedoyla. So, what's the pshat? Why go to Yeshiva Shel Shem? Why go to Yeshiva Bechlal? Why not just listen and go to Lavan's house? And my Rebbe of Noach Holowick always says that the reason why Yaakov went to Yeshiva Shel Shem was, I can't remember who he quotes it from, is because he had to learn Torah Shel Golos. He was now going to a situation, he was going to Lavan, who was a Ramai, where the environment was not the place where he should be, or where they could be affected badly by it. It was a place where it wasn't Torahic. Till now it was in Yeshiva Shel Yitzchak. And Avram and Yitzchak, it was a beautiful place. You could sit and learn and stag and learning right, the whole time. Now he was moving an environment. He was changing. That change needed another yeshiva. It needed a different focus. It needed a different kind of learning. He needed the learning which was going to help him to deal in an environment that was not conducive to spiritual growth. Point number one is you see that Yaakov Avinu was a Bechir Shel Ha'Avos, wasn't chilled about the situation. He was going to a place which wasn't Torahic. He had to learn 14 years by Smarta Gedoyla and didn't sleep because he was scared of what was going on. He wasn't chilled about it at all. He took it very seriously. Right? And that was Yaakov Avinu. And he learned in Yeshiva for that reason. The power of an environment around us is extremely powerful. And it affects us in all different ways. The Chazal say that Amalek came to fight with Klal Yisrael. And the Loshen they use, it says, you have to wipe out Amalek. Why? Because they were the first ones to fight with Klal Yisrael. And they, in the Bindan, the Chazal bring a Moshel that there's an Ambati, there's a bath of boiling hot water. And once the first guy jumps in and gets burnt, then everyone else as well will jump in. So to Amalek. Amalek were the first ones after Yetzias Mitzrayim to fight Klal Yisrael. Once they fought, everyone else would join in. The Mefarshim asked Kasha, Chedush HaLev, Chanuchan Chlebowitz asked the question, he says, I don't understand. The first guy jumps into the bathtub, he gets burned like a Moshe Kof, like he needs to be burned. He jumps out of the bathtub, he screams his head off, and no one goes in the bath. It's exactly the opposite. Amalek came and fought, they got smashed up, that's it. You tried, you failed, and end of argument. You know, you learned your lesson. Everyone sees that and goes, back off. No one jumps in after the first guy gets burnt into the bathtub. So what's the pshat? And explains a fantastic idea. And he says that even though you understand the guy jumps into the bath and he gets burnt, but when you have a bathtub that's boiling hot and no one jumps in, you don't even think about going into it. You don't go in a bathtub that's hot. Once someone goes into the bath and gets burnt, you already think, there's a way to go in the bathtub. You just have to sort out not getting burnt. But you can get into the bathtub. When Amalek got wiped out, got destroyed by Klal Yisrael, and they fought, until then, no one b'chlal thought of fighting with Klal Yisrael. Because you don't fight with Klal Yisrael. Look what they just did. They just split the sea, that Eshemachus, Mons coming, or whatever that time was, and whatever's going on, you don't do it. Once the first one tries, Amalek tried, and they got beaten, so the next person thinks, I'm going to try and not get beaten. But I can already try. That's the power of an environment around you. It's so powerful that in a little bit like that, even though you can see b'chush that a person's getting burnt, something happens to you already. Something's changed in your mindset. Something's changed in the way you see it. That's why Yaakov had to go and learn for 14 years. 14 years is a long time. To be able to counteract the bad environment. The question is, how does it work? What kind of learning works to counteract an environment, a bad environment? An environment that's not conducive to Torah growth. How do you become, or better question, how do you change an environment that's not conducive to yourself or Torah growth to then become growing Torah in that environment? The Eitzah works in two ways. The Eitzah works, number one, by giving you a surprise. You're not prepared for something, suddenly something happens, and you fail. That's one way it works. The second way it works is that it doesn't surprise you. It doesn't surprise the Eitzah. You know what's right, and you know what's wrong. He just waits. Time is on his side. If you have a Nisayon long enough, then you get weaker and weaker and weaker, and eventually, not everyone, but eventually a lot of people fail. Doesn't actually have to do anything about it. It's just a matter of waiting your time. Right? Just have to wait. In fact, the Eitzah is very clever. The Eitzah doesn't want someone to go to a bad environment. I remember there was a guy who wanted to go to university, and he shouldn't have gone to university. I'm not saying I want you to go to university, but this guy, at the place where he was, it wasn't good to go to university. So he goes to university for the first semester, and he says, yeah, it was amazing, no problem, he has chavuses, and it was all fine. And the next time, which was, I don't know, 3-4 months later, he came back, and the whole thing had fallen to pieces. And he goes, he came to me, I said, I don't understand, it worked so hard, good the first time, what happened the second time? So I explained to him, the Eitzah works that way. He lets you work the first time. You learn, Steigen University, whatever. Again, just this guy. And he had a chavus, and it was good for him, and it was all worked out. And he let his guard down. And then he strikes. Whenever you want to do something, and you have a kabbalah to do something new. So what happens? The first few weeks go good. And you're learning, and you're learning. And then your guard goes down a bit. And then he strikes. If you did it in the beginning, it's not going to work. It's Kamal the Gemara says here. It doesn't tell you to do go to Avodah Zarah. It says do a bit of and a bit and a bit and a bit. And eventually you go and do Avodah Zarah. You're not going to listen the first time. If the first day he would start fighting you, then he wouldn't get anywhere. So he lets you go. He lets it be. Right? Same thing. When something it takes time, he can wait it out. When someone's going to live in an environment like Yaakov was going to live in the house of Lavan for 22 years, so that it all has time. He can wait. He can wait. So as he waits longer and longer, you get weaker and weaker. So then what happens? So there's two things we have to understand. First of all, there's a system. Like we understand that if I jump out of this roof, however much amunah you have and betochen you have, yes, the chances of living are very short. And you're not going to get life insurance because it's gravity. Someone said, what do you mean betochen? Gravity is a metzias. It's reality. Right? There's a reality of gashmias. Everyone understands that. There's a reality of gashmias, right? That reality is gravity or energy or anything around us. If you don't eat, you get hungry, you will starve. It doesn't make a difference how much money you have. You will starve, right? Because it's reality. It's nothing to do with your betochen. It's reality. The same thing we have to understand that in the spiritual world, in a ruchni, there's also a reality to it. People come along and say, no, I'll be okay, I'll be okay. Yaakov Avinu was scared, not because he was weak, chas v'sholem. It was a b'chisha v'oriz. Because it's reality. The Pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ramban says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to the Bnei Yisrael about the snare, And Rabbi Shalom said, what is in your hand? Matzah. He says, throw it on the floor. And it became a snake. As Moshe of Ayonos Miponov. And Moshe ran back from it. He was like shocked. Oh my gosh. You know what I mean? Yeah? And Ramban asked, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting there with a snare. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi Sheba Nevi'im. Even if you hold out the Rishonim, that at that time he wasn't. But he was a Navi, a very high level Navi at that time. What's he scared about? Does he not know that it won't help him running away from the snake? If the Ribbono Shel Olam wants him to die from the snake, it's going to get after him anyway. So what's the point of running away? Says the Ramban, because it's instinctive, it's a normal thing that a human being does, is when you see something, you jump back. That is what a human being does. It's nothing to do with emunah or bitachon, right? It's got to do with, that's the way it is. That's the human being. The human being is that when you're in an environment that's not good, you will fall, unless you take steps to deal with it. So Yaakov Avinu went to learn for 14 years, not because Chassid Shani was weak, but because that's what a human being is. And that's why he had to go and learn Torah of Golos. Now the truth is, no one, as Rebbe said, no one as it doesn't explain what exactly he learned there. And like, what did he learn different in Yeshiva Shel Shem and Yeshiva Shel Yitzchak, I'm saying? Well, he learned the Ktseis different, you know. He doesn't know, and Rebbe doesn't know, then I definitely don't know. So I don't know what he learned differently there, but there's a few things that my Rebbe always says about dealing with an environment and the preparation that the yeshiva is there for those who are going to end up going to a different environment and who are going to live their lives not in the Kostei yeshiva all their lives. And he says the following. First of all, to realize that it's dangerous. That's the first thing. Because like I was explaining before, that is the Matthias, that's the reality. I remember one time, there was a guy in Aish, and he came to Aish, and he started learning, and he came by himself, he was 25, he wanted to learn Torah. As was Svadi, he says, I want to learn Torah. I said, fine, let's learn Torah. So he says, I said, okay, so let's say, you know, Baba Kamba, Matziba, Baba. So he goes, no, Chumash, only Chumash. Okay, so let him know Chumash for a bit, you know. Nothing wrong with Chumash, but you know what I mean? So he learned Chumash, and after a month, and they were trying to persuade him to learn Mishnayos. He says, no, only Chumash. So I knew one of his friends. He says, you know, go try to speak to him. So I said, why only Chumash? So he says, this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the truth is, that it's not true. He said the whole was all you know, but I wasn't going to go into the whole argument because I wasn't interested in the whole our law speech. So I said to him the following. I said, you know, you're right, everything is Torah, everything's nice, yeah, but I said that there's a system, and Torah that's mogain, Torah that protects you, Torah that makes you grow, is not the Chumash. You have to learn Gemara Rashi or Gemara Shteisvus, whatever your level is. Chazanish says, and many people say, that the schools of Torah is Torah Shebal Peh. That was the whole thing of Chanukah, whatever. I'm not going to know about Torah Shebal Peh. But I said, it's not a question of you don't understand. That's the Metzius. Barasi Yetzar, Barasi Torah Tavlin. That does not mean Chumash translation with the English Pentateuch. It means Gemara Shteisvus, Baba Kama, Baba Metzir, Baba Baswa. That's what it means. Right? That's what Chazal say. Everyone on their own level. Chazanish says, you have to learn the Be'iyun. What does Be'iyun mean? One shlav above where you are now. That's difficult for you, it's challenging for you. That's what Torah is. Torah is that you challenge yourself to learn one shlav more. You push yourself one step more than where you are now. Wherever that is. If it's translating it, and I used to learn with Asian guys. I remember learning with one Asian guy, 45 minutes. He's actually now learning, he's finished Masechtes, he got married, and he's in Kainal. And I remember learning with him in Asian, and he couldn't understand the Kal V'Chomer. So I said, there's a Kal and there's a Chomer. If it's applicable to a Kal, there's a Chomer. 45 minutes, we were in an auditorium by ourselves because he couldn't concentrate. At the end, he picked up his keys and he flung them across the room and he goes, I don't understand. Yeah? That's Ion. That's not something to, you know, after that something, he got it, Baruch Hashem, at the end, yeah? That's not the idea. But that's Ion. It means if that's what's hard for you, try to understand that bit more, that little bit more. That's Ion. And if you're brilliant and you can learn things, you sit down and whatever, you take a relaxed approach to it, a lackadaisical approach to it, then that's not Ion. Even though you can learn Gemara Shteisvus, Rishonim, Achronim, all the Ktesis, if you haven't challenged yourself, That is not Ion. It does not protect you. It doesn't protect you. Called the Chazanish. I don't. Maybe there's people who chaylik. I don't know. Maybe what says the Chazanish? I'm telling you the Chazanish. I was of my rebbein. So it has to be a level of Torah that's learning be Ion. That's challenging you. That creates something. That when you that's a fanem. If you understand what that means,
Envelops
your mind. Some words you can't translate. It envelops your mind. It doesn't make a difference where you are on the totem pole. It's anywhere where you are, go one above. That's all it is. But if you don't challenge yourself in that place, then that's not good learning Torah the way it's supposed to be. So that's the first thing. You have to understand that it's Torah be'ion that challenges you, that is what creates inside of you the love and the thing for Torah that then protects you through your life. That's point number one. Point number two, as my Rebbe also always says, is that he says there are people that come to yeshiva and they learn 3, 4, 5, 6 years Bahasmada. Morning, afternoon, evening Seder. Bahasmada, good boys, really good boys. But then they change, they go out to work, whatever it may be, and it doesn't hold. My Rebbe said, like, why? And my Rebbe said, because it has to be Torah, which is Mipnim, which you did. In other words, the Torah that you learn based off the environment around you doesn't protect you from the environment around you. The Torah that you create within yourself, when you create, what we call, Leuchter used to say, what's an Aliyas Kir, when I think it was Elisha Novi, and they made from an Aliyas Kir, where he could sit and learn. I forgot the lady who did it. Whatever. But the Aliyah is Kir, right? So the Aliyah is Kir within you is a place where you exist with the Torah that's irrelevant to people around you. That means that you could spend 5 minutes a day learning. 5 minutes a day learning when no one's around. Even Chumash Rashi for that price. But if you spend 5 minutes a day learning, you crave for yourself the Torah for yourself. Not based off other people around you, because when you're in your environment in yeshiva, so everyone's doing it. Everyone's going, you know. And if people can learn in yeshiva and they don't want to learn for themselves, it's not going to help you. I remember one time I was teaching a group of guys who were not they were like negative and they had a hard time in yeshiva. So I told them, learn by yourself. You can be asmanim, okay? They did a good amount. Learn by yourself, 5-10 minutes. I started actually with an hour. And then they're like, no, half an hour. I said, 10 minutes. I went 5 minutes, and they said, no. I turned on to the Rosh Hashiva, and I said, you should know we've gained nothing the whole year. The whole month. He goes, what do you mean? I learned so well. I said, you've gained nothing. Klum. If they don't want to learn 5 minutes by themselves, they can sit and learn hours and hours in yeshiva, because you're sitting there and you give them incentives, whatever like that, you've gained nothing, because it's all air. I mean, not obviously, Chasham, I'm not saying learning wasn't learning, yeah? Other learning was learning. But to build the boy, to build the bacha, you haven't done anything. And he goes, it's not true. He came back then after Ben Azmanim, and he agreed to me. She closed down a couple of weeks later. Right? Nothing happened. You don't want to commit to 5 minutes by yourself. It means it hasn't affected you in any way. If you don't learn by yourself 5 or 10 minutes a day, right? First of all, however tired you think you are in yeshiva after sleeping 8-9 hours, I feel for you, yeah? But when you met Hashem and you get married and you have children and you've been up half the night and then you work all day, you're going to be one heck of a lot more tired. Much, much, much more tired, right? I know, as the Gifter once said, the Gifter, the whole drasha about me, much zichen lernen. Yeah, he makes too fun of it. Much zichen lernen. He don't mean to much zichen lernen, right? But when you get married and met Hashem and you have children, you literally, you know, I told one of my friends that a guy, a good average guy in yeshiva, was married, 10, 15 years, and met Hashem, and he's got a bunch of kids. Ask him when was the last time he slept 8 hours on a shot. 15 years ago, when he was a bacha. Once you have a baby, that's it. You don't sleep. You do 6 hours on a shot. That's good. That's right. That's very good. 6 hours in a shot. Oh man, every night should be 6 hours in a shot. 4 hours, thank 4 hours in a shot. You know what I mean? Right? So you can imagine how hard it is. And then you gotta work all day, whatever it is you're doing. And then you gotta sit down and open up a sefer. Right? You have all the reason to say it. Shema. Right? If you don't create that in yeshiva now, inside of yourselves, that it means something to me. outside of the environment. Yes, you should use the environment to give you that positive inspiration to do it. But you use the environment to create something inside of you which is not based off the environment. You use the environment around you to be able to create inside of yourself something that doesn't necessarily need the environment. Obviously, you should always try and be in an environment that is conducive to Torah study, Torah learning. But if it's not there for whatever reason, you'll be able to take it safer and learn. So it has to be within inside of yourself. Point number two. Point number three is that we have to get used to doing things that no one else does. Pulling out a sefer on a train, you know, it's not the kind of picture you have of yourself. Some people say it's embarrassing, right? You put in a shear into your, you know, earphones. You have to learn to buck the trend. You have to learn to be the person who you are. Avraham Avinu was an ish chesed, right? Avraham Avinu was a amud sheba chesed. And he had his whole, you know, everyone knows the tent and the four doors, very nice, right? But and the story is that when the three Arabs came, the three Malachim came, right? And he says, oh, he goes running out to them, and he's sitting there after 3 days of the Bismillah, and he picks himself up, and he goes running, and he's getting the buckle and everything like that. And then they come into his house, and he goes, oh, wait a second. And then what's the problem? He goes, you've got to wash your feet. He goes, why? He says, because, you know, you serve the dust, and it's Avodah Zarah, and I can't have Avodah Zarah in my house, so you just can't, you know. What happens if they were turning around to him and said, is he not letting me in because of my feet? He goes, yeah. So they say, look, you want to step outside? You're telling me my feet, like, what would he have said? I'm not coming in, I'm not coming into your house then. It's insulting, it's a disgusting thing to say. That my feet are not good enough, whatever. What's that supposed to mean? What have Rambavina said to them? Some sir, you can't come in. You can't come in, you can't bring Avodah Zarah into my house. It's just not happening, I'm sorry, right? Ish chesed, running, doing all these things, right? Everything they want to do, yeah. But and everyone knew him being that ish chesed. Can you imagine they would go out and say, oh, Avraham Avinu ish chesed. We all have my story about Avraham Avinu to me. We came along, and then he goes, my feet smell, and I couldn't go in, and the whole bell gone. And everyone talk about Avraham Avinu. That's right, so you can tell the whole world that your feet smell, whatever it is. You're not coming into my house if you've got Avodah Zarah on your feet. The end. Right? I have my principles, I have my values. It doesn't make a difference what it is. Right? And you see that Avraham was scared by the Hakeda. What's everyone going to say? What's everyone going to say if you Shech Yitzchak? That was his Avraham's tiny words about killing his son. But when the Malachim came to his house, he said, Lechem. Because there's principles. How does that work? Principles don't mean that you ignore everyone else. Avraham was Ish Chesed, he was the biggest Makarov, the first one, the biggest one. Kol HaNefesh is Asu B'chon, all the people that he was Makarov. It doesn't mean that you ignore everyone else. It means I stand by my values and my principles. I have my what I believe to be true, and I stay by those principles. How do you do it? If you go to the gym, I haven't been to the gym in many years because I hate the gym. I played football. I don't go to a gym. In my days, the gym was for wusses who couldn't play football, right? Any self-respecting man played a game of soccer for you guys, right? You can go to the gym. But nowadays, everyone's in the gym, right? If I go to the gym now and start working out for an hour, I would be in pain for a very long time. Why? Because my muscles are not used to it. You have to get slowly, you build them up. You do 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes, and quarter of an hour. You do a week, and then 2 weeks, and eventually you can pick up 50 pounds, 60 pounds, 80 pounds. I still think it's for women. 80 pounds, 90 pounds, 100 pounds, right? Whatever, right? But you gotta flex those muscles. You gotta get used to it. Emotionally, it's the same thing. You've got to flex those muscles. You've got to be able to buck the trend in yeshiva as well when you have the opportunity to be able to do things that no one else is doing because you believe it to be true and right. That's what you're going to do that in yeshiva. Then, when you go outside, you'll be able to stay with your principles and keep up because you've got the muscles built up. You're used to it. You'll be able to hold on. Because you've built up the whole emotional muscle that I don't need to do what everyone else is doing. Again, it doesn't mean that you have to be ostracized, be completely different. But within my own home, I don't do this. You know, everyone's doing it. Very nice. I don't do it. You know what I mean? How many people, you know? I don't know how many people. I know that there's Yachar Kalei and there's Yachar Kalei. And most people don't come to Yachar Kalei. Right? The ones who are doing are back the trend. They leave their work for a week to come and learn. That emotional muscle being built over time to be able to leave things and come and learn, because it's important. I didn't wake up yesterday. It's a system over years, years to do it. Whenever it starts, right? To buck the trend, do something different. To do something which is not everyone is doing. If you want to be the person who you want to be, live by your values and not what everyone else tells you you should live by, then you have to learn to live by your values against what everyone else tells you to do. When you have a suffix about animals, a certain animal, if it's trefa, yes, the Gemara says, the Chazal say that the way you test it is by make it swim upstream. If it can swim upstream against and it's sure it's not a trefa. A kosher animal needs to be able to swim upstream. A kosher yid needs to be able to swim upstream. To do things that no one else does. Again, everyone on their own level. Everyone on their own level, right? But for me, going upstream is this. But he or them are not going to tell me what I can accomplish, what I can do, and how I should live my life, and what principles I should have, and values I should have, and what beliefs I should have. I will live, believe, value the way I feel it to be true. And if I need to swim upstream, fine, I'll swim upstream. There was an experiment done where they did, they put lines. Lines this way, I think, right? And there were five people in the room. Four of them were part of the show, part of the researcher thing, and one wasn't. And they asked number A, he says, which line is longer? And he points to the shorter line, and he says, line B. And he points to number two and says, which line is longer? B, three, B, D, B. And number five is not part. And he looks at the thing, and he looks, and he goes, and he says, B. They did this hundreds and thousands of times. The amount of people who said B was astronomical, like something in the 80s or 90%. Because we don't live our own lives. If they say it to be, say it to be. They were trying to show how everyone's just robots. Yeah, I'm not sure if it would work with religious. To make the exception, you said to be, so nicht so. I'm happy to argue with everyone. We're taught differently, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I remember once teaching an age, so I was arguing with one of the rabbanim. So the guy says, how can you argue with him? He has a white beard. I said, so? She says, why, you know? So I said, this isn't, I said, it's on him to prove me he's right. And he probably will, he has a white beard. But the point is, it's on the Magid Shir, because he never asked a question in Shir, because he felt it was rude. I said, no, you ask your questions. If he can't answer your question, then he loses his job, we get another guy who can. Right? That's his job to answer your question, right? So you know, we're taught a different way, you know? We don't just like believe what he says, right? So I don't know if it would work with Haredi Jews, yeah? But, I don't know. But the point is, most people live their life. Everyone says it's B, then it's B. Right? There was actually a much worse one where they put an electronic, you push the buttons of voltages. It's called the Stanford experiment, and there was a guy in the other room. And every time he pushed it, yeah, they told the guy he has to ask a question. If he gets it wrong, you push it to like 10 volts, 20 volts, 30 volts, 40 volts, 100 volts, 200 volts, like that, right? And he went 10 volts, the guy goes, 20 volts, And it's written on the thing, this can kill, right? 74% of people push the button to kill. Like, this is astronomical, it's unbelievable. And you see this experiment going on, and they're pushing the button. It's all not true because the guy comes out afterwards. And some guy's like, you're sure? He goes, this is a professor in a white coat there. I'm saying this is an experiment has to be done. You know, push the button. And they hesitate. 74% push the button. Because someone says that they should push the button. And then it comes out, and they say, it's a shadi, is it a murderer or not a murderer? That's, the mice is a murderer, but the pilot wasn't. But the point is that he 74%, because people just do things as everyone else is doing it. If you want to be a person to live your life, to succeed in life, you've got to be the person you want to be for yourself. You've got to be the person you want to be for yourself. And I'll finish off with one quote, which I heard from someone. Someone asked Michael Jordan, why is it that he always wins? And he said the following. He said, because everyone else, he says, plays to beat Michael Jordan who he is now. But I am playing to be Michael Jordan what he could be tomorrow and the next day after that. So they're always a step behind. They're always a day behind. they always lose. In other words, he's not playing the field where everyone else is playing. He's fighting himself. That's the person, which means there's a panim, right? That's the person. The person who has a panim means you want to win, you've got to play against yourself. But you've got to have a self to play against. For that, you have to build it in yeshiva, where you learn for yourself. Again, use the atmosphere around you, the yeshivas, everything you need, use. But use it to create something within yourself, and that is key, so you can create for yourself that connection to Torah. So you create for yourself the avas Hashem and the avas HaTorah to be able to learn, to steig, to be able to challenge yourself. That even though you might know the shir, but if you can do edvas besser, if you can learn a bit more tefillah, a bit more clear, a bit more deeper, then you're mechayev to mitzad yourself. Be mechayev yourself to do it because you can do it. Right? Learn mitzad yourself. Then you create the learning that protects you and helps you to be able to go through your whole life where you have a kesh to the Torah, where you will always learn more and more and more. And then maybe you'll also come back for Yachekala and Nochavach and another week. Tov Shkoyach.